This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Keen
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show.
We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip.
And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show.
Yeah. Kansas City Zone, Tech
Uh-oh.
9.
Uh-oh.
Is he a psycho?
Yeah.
Tech 9. Bing is for doing. We are doing the Bates Motel After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm here with my three bestest friends in the whole entire world.
Oh,
well, two bestest friends in Joseph Lippo.
Whoa.
Every week, he's got to say something.
No, he's mean-spirited. I don't know why. Because he's so short.
It's because I secretly think he likes you the most.
Oh.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah. You try knowing this guy for 15 years and see how you do. Again, I'm Joe Braswell. I'm here to my left is the lovely Dua Casey.
That's me. Welcome, everybody.
To her left is the lovely Nando Velasquez.
That's me.
he's not as lovely. I'm not trying to cast aspersions. But.
And to his left is Joseph Flippa.
Nice to hear you all. See you all.
There it is. So it's good to have you back. I know you've been out of town for a while, Joe. I'm glad to have you back. I think you were here last week for this show.
I was here last week for this show. We were down in San Diego. We had a family event we had to take care of. We had but down at the beach for a week. It was terrible. It was very, very awful.
Sounds awful.
It was awful.
Beachfront house?
Yeah, on the beach. It was terrible.
All right. San Diego. Great. Spring break. And also, we also have the lovely to your left,
Marissa
Serafini.
What's up, guys?
Hello. Marissa's a little pissed at me because, A, I'm never on time. I was going to the bathroom before we start the show, and B, I'm never on mic. So I've already peed. I'm going to stay on mic.
By the way, move your mic.
Damn it.
Marissa, right. You just give the word. I will take him outside and beat the hell out of him. I have no problem with that.
Here we go.
He's been waiting 15
that.
Years.
I do not want to piss Marissa off. I'm already afraid of Norma.
Yeah.
Afraid of Norman.
You should be afraid of Norman.
Yeah. So Bates Motel After Show, this one's called Ocean View. We're at episode 5. I talked a lot last week about how wonderfully impressed and happy I am with this show by 4 episodes and the world creating they've done, the character creating they've done, and nothing seems to slow up here in episode 5. Now that they've laid out this wonderful world for us, it seems like we're really settling in and getting into some really good story, which is full of mystery and intrigue and a little noir sort of stuff happening. And it's just a lot of great things happening here. Again, another spectacular episode. These guys really didn't know what they're doing, apparently.
Yeah, it was really good. I really, really liked it. I liked that it ended with a cliffhanger.
I think this episode is distinctly anti-Asian. We shot Ethan right in the neck. He's Asian.
Don't get fired.
No, I'm just saying. And then we find the poor Asian process. I mean, I'm just saying there's racist.
Oh, by the way, I just wanted to mention to you, Sanfilippo, I just wanted to mention Team Sex Slave 1, Sanfilippo 0.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Team Sex Slave.
So she was real.
Mm-hmm. You know what screwed me up was the shrink wrap. Like, he had that whole thing stacked in that part of the basement that had shrink wrap around it.
She could have been in there, just waiting to pop out.
I'm not sure it was shrink wrap. I think it was just a tarp.
Well, it looked like plastic wrap. I mean, you know.
I think it just threw a tarp on it.
I don't think it was a tarp. I mean, it might have been a tarp. I'm not sure.
Anyway. I gotta say, I'm still on your side when it comes to Norman sleeping with Bradley. I don't think they slept together. Even though in the opening scene, you see her in bed. But when he went to go reach out and then didn't touch her hair, for some reason, I think that was symbolic. I don't think they slept together.
I'm with you on that. I don't know.
He also texted her and he's called her. She hasn't responded.
I've been on the receiving end of that. I don't know if that means I didn't.
doesn't necessarily mean
it didn't happen.
It just means I don't want to talk to you.
It just means she wants to forget about it.
It just means it didn't go so good.
the lights are on now, and oh.
Oh, wow, look at that.
That's what you look like.
Well, you can have anything you want out of the fridge. Please get the hell out.
that's nice.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
I don't know that we should be called Team Sex Slave.
You're stuck with it now, man.
Yeah, I think I can get away
from that now.
Okay, but I will claim it. Yes, we one for us.
Hashtag sex slave.
Hashtag Team Sex Slave. Nando, do you think she's real? Do you think that happened?
I don't. I actually don't. I'm gonna stick to my guns. Unlike some people, I'm gonna stick to my guns. But I'm gonna say no. And Mike Weston's still a follower. For those of you watching, following, but
Nando sticks to his guns.
I'll explain more later. I'll explain more in a little bit. But I still have reason to believe that there are certain scenes that we're seeing that are still figments of Norman's imagination.
Agree.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Are you talking about right now? Are you talking about Bradley and sleeping with Norman, or are you talking about the sex slave?
I'm talking about sex slave.
You don't think the sex slave is real?
I'll tell you why.
You don't think the sex slave is real?
I'm still doubting the sex slave a little bit.
In radio and television, we call that a tease.
Yes.
So we'll wait till later in the show to hear.
When you segue into it,
wait a second. You've got Emma, Norman, and Norma are all hanging out in the hotel. You think it's all happening in his mind?
Yes.
Oh, all right. He's got a theory.
I have a theory.
I want to unpack
this. And my theories might not work, but you love my theories. Anyway, so.
There's a thin line between genius and insanity.
Yes, there is. There is, totally.
Did you find it funny that on the boat, when the sex slave popped out of the closet, she was like an orangutan, and she like literally she had so much energy, and she was like so aggressive. But then when they got out of the car to go to the motel, they had to drag her to the motel room.
Well, she passed out again. They kept saying,
but that's just find that really weird.
So you think maybe there's a missing scene? Maybe there was a scene where she hit the, I don't know, where she hit her head or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
figment of the imagination.
All of your energy. Adrenaline gets going, and someone's there. The adrenaline took over, and she's like, "Get me out of here!" and then she passed out.
I said it during when we were watching. Norman was incredibly self possessed. I'd have screamed like a little girl and ran to the other side of that boat so fast.
Norman's a cool customer. He's like, There she is, the sex slave.
I'll put my hand over her mouth, and I will take her out now.
Yes.
Well, I feel like Norman is good about not showing emotion at all, ever. He's really good at just being internal and just not letting his emotions show.
Right.
And maybe it's because he wants to be the opposite of mom, because mom's stuff is so bubbling up all the time.
Maybe.
Well, so just another thing about this, getting back to the episode itself, now that we've established the town, we're getting more into the town itself. We've got more characters. We've got the lawyer now, the town, the 31-year-old... 33-year-old lawyer. She looks 31.
Rebecca.
Rebecca. No. With the lawyer, we're sort of seeing like more of this town expand out, and I love seeing more characters in town. But we're also starting to see the crime, the underbelly. I mean, well, I'll get into this later when I talk about Dylan, but Ethan kind of got it from some tweaker guy, and it's just the impression is that this town is still a bit lawless. We have two main law enforcement folks and kind of like this underbelly running this town. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it didn't seem like Rebecca was particularly surprised to have a client charged with murder in a town that small.
Right.
You know, that was pretty interesting. Like, you know, well, you're charged with murder, and blah blah blah. But it wasn't, it was not a. You didn't get the vibe that she was a small town lawyer who'd never. This wasn't her first rodeo.
No.
So I mean, the town's got some deep stuff going on.
It was very much came off like a big city, SVU attorney, like a Law and Order style.
Yeah.
Like, here's what we're gonna do. Murder one. Here's the evidence. She didn't. So we'll see.
I love Norma's question. I love Norman that whole scene, but I love Norma's question. She's talking. Norma's like, "How old are you?" And she goes 31, and that look that she gave. Oh, that's.
Yeah.
See what she did? She did?
She looks 31.
She just knocked 2 years off her life.
Boom. She looks 31.
You're welcome.
Written down there.
Ooh. I do have it written down right here.
Either that or it's page 33 of your notes.
It could be. Uh-huh. For that one episode. That's minute 22 right there.
I'm sorry, it's got that. Do it takes a lot of notes.
I'm notes. Thorough. At least I'm on time.
Hey.
Hey-o.
Flip-o.
Yeah.
Whoa!
I love Norma's expression that she gave when she asked, "How old are you?" It's like, "What are you even doing here?" Norma seems totally convicted, and I almost believe that Norma didn't do it. and
it's
didn't
like
what are you, like, yeah, she's like, what are you doing? What are you, it sounds like you're like, making up a story.
Yeah.
When she was spot on.
Yeah. Right.
This is all like I don't need a defense. I didn't do it. Like she's such a brilliant liar.
But again, the level of contempt and like disgust, like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like what do you, this sounds like a story. Like, she was very much, yeah, like, discussing it. And we all know she did it, which makes her that much more nuts.
And brilliant.
Which is, now, yeah.
Did you want to get into talking about Norman? Should I hop into Norma? Do you want to start talking about Norman?
I'll start talking about Norman.
Well, yeah. Before we start talking about anything.
Okay. Oh. Well, he's, host, he's the host.
Hey, now.
Let's listen.
Someone's got to drive this boat.
Yeah. We should give you a gavel.
If it's not Keith Summers.
Don't give him a gavel. He's going to blow this table up if you give him a gavel. This is a glass table.
We do want to thank you all for listening on iTunes, and thank you for downloading us and listening to us and commenting. And I will say, you know, you have made us, at least for this week, the number one show in AfterBuzz.
Which
is great.
We have 60 shows here in AfterBuzz, and the little old Bates Motel has passed Mad Men and Game of Thrones and all these other powerhouse shows. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
To become number one, which is really great, and number seven on the iTunes Top 100. So thank you very
That's
much.
That
is enormous.
It's pretty so please continue to listen, continue to comment, continue to download us and listen to us on iTunes. You can also check us out on YouTube, and you can also check us out on the AfterBuzzTV.com website if you want to do the live feed. But there's a lot of you who had a lot to say. We're going to get to you that a little later. We're going to shout all you guys out and really appreciate you listening to us again. So now I'd like to get into general what we thought of the show individually. not general impressions.
That means, Nando, you're allowed to talk now.
So, Nando.
I have permission.
What leapt out at you this episode?
Well, Norman. I mean, you know.
Wait, who's Norman?
Norman.
Which one is he?
He's the one played by, who's he played by, Joe? So you would
know you're right. I know he's Freddie Highmore.
Freddie Highmore.
Is it Frankie Muniz? Who is that?
Frankie Muniz was great in Neverland. Or Finding Neverland.
Well, I mean, obviously, the whole thing is, did he sleep with Bradley? That's probably the big question. He comes home after not touching her hair, all like cocky and hot, you know, all like, hey man, you know,
almost swagger, like it was pretty, almost like
he,
swagger.
Yeah, he had definitely swagger. Has some swag.
That
some
is swag. Where swagger comes from, by the way. That yeah, otherwise yeah. You're just walking funny if you don't, you know.
Swag is not, but yes, swag is born from moments like that.
Yes,
it is.
That's where swag is born.
It's born from moments like that, whether you created it in your mind or not. Yeah, he looked happy.
Right,
he looked incredibly happy.
He looked like a guy who got laid, even if it was in his mind. And I love that he's just walking down the street. He had a little hop in a step, had a little like pimp stroll going.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
a little grin.
You gotta love it.
I love it.
And he goes home to obviously find out that while he was gone, again, another time that he's left the house, his mom is something happened. To his mom, and she is obviously not too happy with him. So he tries to bail her out. He goes for bailing her out, and Emma ends up helping him out throughout most of this episode.
Right,
on numerous capers, if you will.
I just love the word.
Okay, I know you love that word.
These do feel very much like capers because we're into Scooby Doo territory.
She's Velma. She's Velma with an oxygen
tank. She's a sickly Velma.
Yeah, she's. we'll talk about her later on too. But man, she's great.
Yeah, she's great. And I don't want to get too much into her. I'll let you handle that. But still, I really don't think that Bradley and him had sex because. Besides the fact that she hasn't answered him and we haven't seen her the entire episode except for that first shot where it looked kind of creepy, like he's just staring at her sleeping.
Yeah.
Besides that, when he was reminiscing or going back to his night before, it was the exact same shot placement of the blue sheets over the head and everything. Yep. It looked exactly the same as last week. So it makes me think that, well, if he's dreaming the exact same shot,
then it's all on his head.
Then it's probably all in his head.
He has a photographic memory.
Yeah, exactly.
You would remember.
He remembers the blue sheets and everything.
Yes.
I would be, I'm sorry, if I was thinking about somebody I had sex with, I would not be thinking about the sheets. I would be thinking about everything else.
Right.
Okay?
Everything but the sheets.
But I really feel like that was a very telling sign. And also the fact that he couldn't touch her hair, he wouldn't touch her hair, I thought was a very telling sign. And
like, almost like he didn't need to, like, almost like he wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Like if he came there and then she went to sleep and then he snuck back in her room and was watching her and he wanted to touch her but he couldn't.
That's what it felt like.
Well, let me just toss this out there, because I argued last week that all this was happening in his head, but having some of that unravel this week leads me to believe, that maybe the whole premise is a little tweaky. I don't know if Bradley is with guy who threw the party, right? Who I think that's who she's with, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But guy who threw the party really can't relate to what Bradley's going through. I mean, her father just got burned in front of her. I mean, and then he died. The only person who she can really relate to at this point is Norman, and so she's able to talk to Norman and be comfortable with him because she's not feeling like she is constantly explaining herself and updating him with what she's feeling because Norman knows.
Yeah, or being the sad girl,
right? And so she's in a different place with Norman. I think that probably translated to her sexually, and they had. But afterwards, she's still with dude who threw the party, and Norman is still a little the new weird kid. And I'd be willing to bet that they had sex, but she's just over it. She's just like, that was a right here, right now. Thank you, and that's the end of that.
Well, then that explains why she's not reaching out to him. But why wouldn't he even touch her hair?
I've been in a spot where I've seen somebody so beautiful. I don't want to disturb that. I just want to leave that in my head the way it is, and I'm going to go
or say goodbye.
That's when you're that's you in the mirror every morning, right?
That's how I do it.
Yeah.
It's like, God, look at you.
Like it's you in the mirror.
Why wish you just leap out?
Why can't I touch you?
Why can't I
just kiss you?
You're so cold.
You're me.
It's your first time with a girl, and you're gonna pull the. Oh, I'm just going to sneak out. No, I'm not going to say a word. I'm going to give her a sleep. No, I'm going to tell the whole world I got laid. First of all, probably was my first time.
He did. He told Emma.
Yeah,
we're together
Emma,
now.
And Dylan knew. And, well, Norma knew, but she kind of knew through Dylan. So I guess so. But I still think he would have made more of a connection with her before he left. So, I mean, that's my thought. Well, I mean, we're still trying to figure out. We still know that he imagined something. So I just feel like this is a major. I mean, come on. From the first episode, we've been saying this guy cannot be hooking up with so many hot girls.
Well, here's
under the radar. Closet pimp.
That was my.
What you said.
Okay. Well, I'm interested to see to call out to our iTunes fans again and everyone else listening. Interesting to hear your theories as well. However, I really started to think about this a lot. I really started to think about this whole thing because once the whole thing was introduced that Norman is losing time or maybe hallucinating. I really started to think about, the Carlton cues and we're missing stuff and Easter eggs. So I actually went back to rewatch the podcast. I had the feeling like this is kind of one
so
of those
proud.
Shows.
Wow.
This is one of those shows where you're like, it's all the clues are probably laid out for us the whole episode if we just go back and rewatch. So I went back and I watched the pilot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I rewatched that entire scene when the girls come up and he meets the girls. And knowing what I know now, I watched it completely differently. When Norma, when the girls come to the door and Norma shoos them away and he sneaks out to the party, I'm not sure that happened actually. When he snuck out and he got to the party, the reason is this. Once he got to the party, the party was very it shot in the exact same way.
It was
way.
Very weird, very like
something was off about it. It reminded me, and there was when now it's real after this episode, since maybe blow my theory out. But disco balls, it was full of disco balls. The same lighting that was in the with the sex slave.
Really,
and I thought
wow.
Like, whoa, this looks like the sex slave situation. There's like a couple of disco balls,
interesting.
And then like he's by himself in the kitchen alone. And then all of a sudden the girl comes up and starts flirting with him like, you're great, and like almost kisses him, but then her boyfriend's there. It makes me feel like that he imagined that whole interaction with the girl, but what was real was the boyfriend comes up and he's like, hey, and she's like, oh, hey, yeah, this is Norman. But everything up leading up to when the boyfriend shows up was like, hey, Norman, I'm really into you. He's like, really? Yes, I am. Oh, here's my boyfriend. I didn't really buy it. So it read at first like, wow, Norman's his closet pimp.
Wow.
Reading, going back and looking at it, and I'm like, oh, this didn't happen. This is all that Norman
he's just
said.
Crazy.
He's always liked her.
What I find fascinating, and this is what makes an amazing show. I think what makes this show so good is when you want to go back and rewatch it. Again, I've watched the pilot twice. I've actually seen every single episode twice, and I always get something new, something different. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's what makes a good show.
Yeah.
In my opinion, and I actually agree with you. Who knows? Like, who knows what's real and what's not? And you just keep that. It could drive you crazy if you think about it. If you overthink it,
right?
But if you just keep that in the back of your head, that the reality in this show is really.
And it may be the entire thing was maybe portions of it was real, but I got the impression that everything involving this girl, what's her name? The one he slept with?
Bradley.
Everything involving Bradley seems a little dodgy to me. And I'm going on a limb with predictions here, but I just that scene felt really like not right to me. Then I cut back to them hooking up last week, and I thought like, oh yeah, this is just like at the party. Every time we see him and Bradley, it's very idealized and very sort of flowery.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And so that's my theory. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I know that we talked about back with the first episode that they shoot the show with a lot of everybody has a certain style. Like you were saying, I believe I think in the beginning that Norma always when she's at the hotel, she's dressed like she's in a different era.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And when she's out of that, they'll let her dress differently. But when she's in the hotel, she's in that era. And I wonder if maybe that isn't just a choice they're making with Bradley and the high school girls, that they're shooting them in this kind of a vibe, in this
it's
kind
like
of
futuristic kind
yeah,
of
yeah, this
like,
kind of like very different, very edgy, very very like I don't want to say club, maybe that's not the right term, but there's definitely a different way they're lighting
different
it.
Different purposes, like Nando said last week, with like in Lost, like all the stations had different purposes. It's like they're almost different intentions with each, like each almost like each plot line or each storyline has like a different feel.
Yeah. It does, yeah.
The intention of the whole Bradley Norman thing was to show off the new iPhone.
Right.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, the question is to your point, Joe, the question really is, I mean, it's obvious that the show's really, really well made and really well directed, well written, obviously well acted. But in those scenes, they've gone through great lengths to sort of do these different set pieces and light them differently. And, you know, it's actually give Norman an old fashioned look with his old fashioned movies and give everything that happens in the house. They're listening to, in a pilot, they're listening to like long playing LP records, you know, this
right.
vinyl. It's a very
on
old
the old school
thing.
On the old school huge furniture.
Right.
The stereo that we grew up with.
That was like, you know, yeah. So
remember, you run in the stereo, you took your face off. The stereo didn't topple. You fell down.
Maybe you grew up with that, son.
Uh-oh.
No, I didn't have that. Getting out. Yes, I had it all.
You definitely did.
Yes. Anyway, so my point is, like, this, they've gone through great lengths to sort of make this show stylistically different. The question, so you're right about that, but the question is it done, is it for style or is it for substance or both?
Right.
Because if it's all for style, it's a beautifully shot show, it's well done, everyone has their own areas, but I'm beginning to believe the show is sort of smarter than that and everything is for a reason. So now I'm starting to get into my Lost, you know, super nerd, Easter eggy Lost hat on, like, well, wait a minute, the record player means that. You know, like what's playing on the record player? Oh, it's, you know, whatever it is. I'm into everything now. So maybe it's too much, but I love it.
I want to actually jump back for just a second to what you were talking about, about Norman. And when Norman comes back from the house and he's talking to Dylan and he was like, well, where's Mom? Is she sleeping? And he's like, no, she got arrested. It was in that moment as well. Once again, once he left, once he left the house, something terrible has happened to his mother.
Yeah.
And it's almost like reaffirming that he can't leave her side. It's like making their codependent, it's like making his codependence worse.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And then cut to later when they have another scene in the kitchen, Dylan and Norman, and Dylan is like, I'm getting this place. It's an ocean view. You need to come live with me. And he's like, I can't leave her. She needs me.
Mm-hmm.
Almost right. saying like, you don't understand. If I leave her side, something bad is going to happen.
Yeah.
Like I can't be away from her. So I find it very interesting.
And his reaction, his comment was calling her an addict.
Yeah.
Saying she was an addict and what
drama addict.
Yeah. And what you had to do with an addict sometimes is just walk away.
Well, that's the thing is it's another one of those scenes where Dylan is the most normal.
Yeah,
of that crew. I mean, Norma and Norman are definitely not normal.
Well,
there's, I mean, you know, but it's, you know, it's the truth. He's the guy saying the most responsible things, doing the most responsible things, and he's supposed to be the badass son that's a problem.
Well, Dylan is definitely grounded in reality.
Yes, he's here with the rest of us.
For whatever reason, the other two are not grounded in reality. Norman's obviously losing time and doing some other things, and Norma lives in her own world where everyone else is wrong and she's right no matter what. I'm sorry. Do we have anything else, Nando, on Norman before we move on?
I have something else, but it's related to another character. So I'm gonna wait till we talk about that other character.
Okay. Well, then.
So,
go ahead, Dua.
So Nando's talked a little bit a few episodes ago about point of view, which is interesting because you never really know who's crazy, Norman or Norma. Based on what Norma said a couple episodes ago, he loses time and he sees things that aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
But based on what happened this episode, Norma was completely crazy. And so is Norma being correct? Is she being truthful? when she says you're losing time? Like, is he actually losing? There's just a whole bunch of things. It's like, you're right. It just cracked it wide open. I want to talk about the scene in the car, because that was my favorite single. That was my favorite scene of this show.
I'm going to give it to you, because I want to get, not only that, I do want to get your takeaway. So let's hear what leapt out at you.
Well, this is the scene in the car, and what I found so interesting, because it was a very incestual scene, and when Norma blows up at Norman, I found it interesting that she didn't talk about the fact that Norman told Dylan everything first. The first thing that she said when she got angry was, "You went out and you got laid. Mm-hmm. You don't care about me. You went and got laid. And then you told your brother that I killed somebody." Like, I felt like that was just a little bit off in, like, the list of priorities.
Well, let me ask you a question. And this is, my experience is limited with, it's not that limited with crazy women. I have some experience with crazy women and or crazy people in general, but I'll be specific because we are discussing a woman who's not quite right.
I'm silent.
Maybe you ought to be. I don't know. But there's a tendency for whatever is brewing, in my limited experience, to be beneath the surface, and we'll talk about this other stuff first, and I'll see if I can keep it under... I can't keep it under control, goddammit! This is what's really bothering me. And what's really bothering her is that he told Dylan. The getting laid is ancillary. Hmm. He wasn't where he was supposed to be, but that's not really what she's pissed about. She's pissed that he discussed their business between the two of them. He broke their circle of trust by bringing in Dylan, who's the outsider, and he doesn't belong there.
Yeah.
And I think that was what was underneath the surface.
Yeah.
The other stuff she was willing to say first because it wasn't as important. But once she pulled over and really blew up, that's, I think, when we get to the heart of what was getting to Norma.
So what she mentioned second was what was most important.
I think that's my opinion.
She kicked him out of the car. You know, I got to say, the only person I've ever kicked out of the car has been a future ex-boyfriend.
Ooh.
I wouldn't kick out my family.
I've been kicked out of cars by family, and that looked very familiar, and I think it was very well done.
I've been kicked out of cars.
10 miles away, and I loved how once...
Sometimes they're moving.
So, you're lucky if they stop. I think she was very nice.
She pulled him out of the car.
A little tuck and roll. That little tuck and roll can't solve.
Once again, Norman had no emotion. He had no emotion on his face whatsoever. He just simply started walking. Well, and then when she saw him again, when she walks in the door after he's left the message for Bradley, and she saw him again, she's happy because the evidence was lost. And all of a sudden, they're like back to square one. They don't even address the fact that he kicked her out of the car. Like, I find it funny that Norma can be so angry and so mad at him, and then 2 seconds later she'll walk and it's like nothing happened.
Yeah. Well, I've got a question for you, Dua, because this is... I've turned into a crazy conspiracy theory guy now.
You have, yeah.
The first thing I wrote down was like, wait a minute, because of what you said, the first thing that he said to her was like, or she said to him was like, you got laid, you're busy and laid.
Mm-hmm.
That felt very much like it was coming from Norman's point of view. Like, that's what Norman is worried about. He's Norman. That it made me think, I wrote, was a conversation with Norma even real? Was a conversation in the car real?
Huh.
And I know that I'm not...
Fears that that's what his mother would be about.
I don't want to be going down every road of like, was that real? But, you know, you can't help but do it on the show. But the reason being is we know for a fact that conversation that happened in the bedroom where Norma came in and said, you left it. When Norma really gave it to Norman, and he went off to go get the belt back or get the evidence back. We know that didn't happen.
Yeah.
This conversation felt a little... It didn't feel right when she's like, if the first thing out of her mouth is you got laid, like, you know, I made it feel like that's Norman's guilt talking.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of Norman's guilt talking. And now I'm not saying the whole car ride was fake, but I don't know. I'm starting to really understand, like...
Well, if their codependence is as deep as it is, I mean, it's crazy. I don't know. It's interesting to me that she doesn't ask about Bradley. She doesn't ask who the girl was, doesn't ask where this happened.
She did ask. She goes, what's her name? Oh, never mind. I don't want to know.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't a full... But what she did want to talk about was that he broke the trust with Dylan. That was something she did want to actually discuss. The got laid part seemed like... Like you're being disgusting. Like the fact that you got laid is such a typical thing that a guy would do, that you're just being...
Hang your head in shame.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, you're just a dog gets laid. What you did was doggish. I it's so funny with me, or with Norma, to see the way she forces reality. She just needs things to be a certain way, and she makes them that way with all of her might. Hmm. Like right now, she's trying to make that cop into something he clearly isn't. She's going to make things work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when they don't go her way, because she feels that so strongly, she's trying to make things happen so hard. Like with the whole hotel, the whole overarching theme of this, we're going to go to the seaside thing, and we're going to make this hotel happen. Right. We're going to make it, you and me.
But the town screwed up, and the hotel's crazy.
No,
I don't
we're
care.
Making it.
That hotel has not made any money yet. Have
they
you guys
have
noticed?
Not a dollar. not dollar one. They haven't even got the dollar they can put up on the wall. They haven't made a dollar.
Yeah. And by the way, are they going to really doing booming business when that place opens up? Are those seven rooms really just going to be like cracking full of like?
It's going to be like the Love Boat. They're going to have different episodes where people are just going to fall in love.
Different guest stars.
Yeah, different guest stars every week.
I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, that's going to happen. I don't know. Okay, anyway.
They have. Yeah, it's their website looked nice though.
Yes.
It did.
It flowery, really nice. Seaside.
Meet the staff.
Yes.
Yeah.
What else you got to do, Norma? Anything else?
Let's see. No, I've got some stuff about some other topics. I think we should move right along because I know that we're always running low on time.
No, we're doing fine. We got plenty of time. Marissa says, "Go on forever." She says,
"Is that what she's saying?" That's not the look I'm getting at all.
That's the look I'm getting right now.
What Joe says when he's driving here.
Take your time. Hello. Yes, Joe Sanfilippo. That is Joe. We'll left out of you this episode, sir.
I want to talk about Emma. Emma is such a cool character to me.
She's great.
And the act. I don't remember the actress. His name, which is terrible of me.
She's right. Adorable. I could
Olivia Cooke.
Olivia Cooke.
Nice.
She is phenomenal.
She's a great job.
Mm, yeah, she's
across
great.
The board.
Absolutely.
Not just a hat rack.
It's a very rich. It's a very rich, rich new character.
Yes.
Like for all the millions of hours of television the four of us have watched combined, like she is. It's hard to come up with sort of a new take on a new character or a new character and a young sort of Nancy Drew / Thelma CF having cystic fibrosis having girl is great.
It is
with a heart of gold.
And she's got. I think the cystic fibrosis gives them such freedom with her. Because they can have her just go after what she wants all the time.
And not be annoying.
That's right. It. And there's no sense of, what are you rushing for? There's no sense of, you got your whole life to worry about, blah, blah, blah. You don't. And so everything she's feeling and everything she wants is immediate.
Yep.
And no one is willing. And this is the thing her dad was talking about last week. Was it last week when dad said be
yeah,
decent?
It was last week. Yeah.
You know, there's nobody that's gonna commit to her long term because it's just gonna break your heart. There's no way to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everybody that's with her is gonna be guarded. Is gonna be giving half an interest. And that's completely natural. And I think she knows all that and she gets all that. And so when she pushes for what she wants. It's heartbreaking and it's inspiring and it's no holds barred.
It's great.
You know what's interesting? I'm glad that you brought that up because now do you think the writers were writing her and as they went back they're like, you know what, there's something that's off, like how can we make her lovable, and giving her a disease was what allowed them to do that. So do you think that they decided that she should have cystic fibrosis after?
Well, that's one of the things I would love to ask them.
I'd love to interview one of those guys and find out.
Yeah, we'll have a little chit chat. We'll have one of the writers on, and we'll have a conversation about
that. The one thing I noticed about her more this episode, and I think part of it has to do with her sickliness, is she really seems, next to Norman and Norma, seems like the oldest person on the show.
Yeah.
The way she looks, the way she dresses, the way she acts.
Her maturity level.
I don't even know if it's a maturity level thing, but it's definitely an age thing. It's definitely like I said, the way she just looks overall.
Oh, I said her physical appearance.
Her physical appearance. And the fact that she's frail. After she drove Norman someplace, he said, I got to get someplace. And she's like, here's someplace. And they were sitting down. I actually pictured her with gray hair, and I said, she looks like she could be a grandma the way she's looking.
Right.
So, I just question that because of the whole issue that you brought up about time and about how we noticed that everything in the house that's related to Norman seems so outdated.
Well, you question in what way?
Here comes my theory. That I don't want to cut in on this, but I want to save it.
Do you think?
I think Emma, at least in this episode, I think Emma's a figment of Norman's imagination.
Huh.
You think Emma's not real?
I'm not saying Emma's not real, but I'm saying in particular that maybe Emma's still sick But I'm thinking that at least the scenes that Norman's having with Emma this episode are not real.
I gotta tell you.
If that's the case, then that would actually prove what you said at the beginning of this episode, where you don't think the sex slave is still real.
That's why I'm not sure about it, too.
It's too much for me. I can't function with this much stuff being unreal. I don't know what to do.
I think
there needs to be some type of constant. I'm right on the same page with you, Sanfilippo, because now, like, all of my notes that I have, it's like, well, now, wait a minute. Maybe these don't matter.
We can get out of control with this.
We can't. This is a slippery slope
slash black hole. I was starting to go down, and I was the conversation in the car real? What's real? What's real? But I do. It sounds like what you're about to say was you do need something to ground the show.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, so we know Norman's real, and we know Norman. Mm-hmm. We have to believe to a certain degree. Well, maybe Norman and Norma are real. And it's like, well, no, because Norma's sometimes not real. Maybe Norman and, you know. So there has to be something besides Norman.
Right now, for me, it's Dylan. Right now, for me, Dylan is that, yes, he's
real.
He's definitely real. That's just an airplane.
Oh.
I hope it's not landing here.
I do want to say this, John. Just to your point about Emma as a character, what also makes her so brilliant is oftentimes people who have CF or people who are in these situations, and they're young because they don't, unfortunately, don't usually live to be too much older, but what's interesting about these personality types is they all oftentimes come to terms with their fate they're dealing with. Yeah, they come to terms with it long before the family members do, before their friends do. So the friends are like, "Oh my God, you have an auction day." She's like, "Yeah, well, I have it. It's what I do. What's next?" You know, like, you're like, right. "Oh my God, are you gonna?" Yeah, I have it. Well, let's go find a sex slave. You know, she's already like,
if I had a dollar for every time I've heard that.
But that's what makes her such an interesting character, because she has this thing of like, you know, yeah. Not so much of like, I have nothing to lose, but it's more of like I'm grounded in a certain
reality. I know who I am. I know what my deal is, and I'm
super
hyper present
in a way that you aren't. So let's take care of this, Norman. Let's look at this book. Let's go out here. Let's look in. Let's find the girl.
Well, that's the thing. She's not dicking around with time because she doesn't have any.
Right.
And I think you're 100% right. It's because she's come to terms with who she is, and everybody else can play all the games they want, but she's not going to do that. Mm-hmm. I think one of the other things that I love about the character is what she said in the scene that's actually up there now. When they're on the car and he's telling her in his very serious way that he and Bradley are together, which they're not.
That's a great scene.
Whether or not they're not together because it didn't happen or because Bradley's blowing him off for party guy.
Yeah.
One way or the other, poor Norman is in for some heartbreak.
Yeah.
But Tara Reid, before things got messed up, is not going to be hanging out with him. That's over. But I'm sorry.
I'm following you. For those that are listening,
he's actually referring to Bradley as Tara Reid before things got messed up, which is spot on.
Our listeners are smart. They're following.
They got this. So when she said it's a hookup, that's all it was. It was a hookup. That's it. She is determined to keep her relationship with Norman the way she wants it, because she has got in Norman someone that she can actually have these adventures with.
Right.
She's got something going on with him, whether it's a friendship, whether it's going to be something else, whether she's going to try and make it something else.
Yeah.
But she's not going to let this derail what she's building with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I like that.
And there seems
her.
To be a bit of I don't have that much time left. I like you. We have something already. I'm not going to, you know. This is what it is. It did break her heart. She did have that. She shed a tear.
Oh God, it was brutal, wasn't it?
But at the same time, she's like, "Well, that was just a hookup, and that sucks because I like you, but let's keep moving. We got shit to do."
But there was that defeat, that moment of defeat that she had. You saw it, and she felt stupid because she kissed him in front of the bail bondsman. The bail bondsman's place with the orange on orange on orange. That was a very orange
scene.
She's
my new favorite. She's my new favorite character.
Phenomenal. Actress. Velma with an O2 tank. It seems cruel to say, but she's got a Velma thing going on.
She's and before I get to my takeaways, which are going to last about 30 seconds because we're almost out of time, but I do want to say I gave her so much crap for this whole like Nancy Drew, the kids on in episode one and two, episode two, I guess it was. Now I love it. I love them, like, you know, lurking around in Keith's, in this scene here, lurking around in old Keith's, what's his name?
Yeah, Keith's boat. Keith Summers had a big boat.
A boat. He had a motel. Yeah. He had
not
a house.
Well kept, though.
No, kind of a mess.
No.
He left his Asian hooker right in the closet.
But he went in foreclosure.
Sex slave. She's not a hooker. She's not a whore.
My bad. You're right. That's probably so true.
So very quickly, my takeaways. I just want to talk about Dylan. We talked about him a lot already. We know he's the center of the show. He's the heart of the show in terms of the guy who's grounded. I do like that he's sort of the guy with a conscience, although he's out there doing dirt. Like everything he's doing is also shady in his own way, but he's the guy we're rooting for because he's trying to make a couple of dollars. So what, he's guarding some pot, you know, $300 a day, whatever it is. But it's really interesting in this episode how you know, he really is using all of his, you know, doing dirt for the powers of good. He wants to get a place with the ocean view for him and his brother. He wants to, you know, I initially thought he was going to try to bail his mom out, but he wanted to sort of help the situation. And then he realized that, you know, she's toxic, so I can only help my brother. I thought all that was great. I really, really, really loved, as I don't know what the sequence was and how it what they're trying to do, but the sequence when they're on the motorcycle together, sort of like the brotherly,
yeah, the little
it was long. And he's like crossing lanes and
right,
and
my buddy,
Norman's head's back with a
my
smile.
Me.
I wanted his arms to just outstretch.
Oh yeah,
he's just taking it all in. I really, really love that scene. There's something very sweet and brotherly about that, and I feel like that if and when something happens to Dylan, Norman will be cutting back to that like moment.
Well, you know, there was somebody there was somebody that wrote in and said something. They were talking about why would they create a character Dylan.
Right. Well, I'm going to get to her. I'm going to get to her in a second. That's her good friend.
Why would they create a character Dylan if they were going to kill him off? Like, you know, and my retort to that would be, you know, I understand where the person is coming from. However, to know that Norman had a brother and to kill him off would contribute to his psychosis and to contribute to his character, which I think is ultimately what we're trying to do, because we're trying to tell the story of how he became who he is. So I mean, I get what she's saying, but, you know, I do think... Did you want to read the story?
Yeah, well, I was just going to... Well, because you know, that's my take. I mean, just Dylan. I mean, we have to go in, but Dylan's my guy, and I just want to just finish up with Dylan. Like, you know, what he ended up doing, you know, his sort of justice with Ethan getting shot. Ethan, his buddy Ethan, taking, you know, giving
him
the money.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that. He hit that guy.
Yeah, so this is you know, where, Ethan gave him the money, which is really sweet. He took him to the hospital and then really went after that guy. I couldn't tell if that was like he hit the gas or the guy fell. Did he run him down?
No, he ran him down.
He hit him with the
car.
Well, I know he ran him down, but I looked away and I couldn't tell.
He ran him down. And
I didn't know if he tripped and fell.
No. Like, he got run down, and the way they shot it was gave. There's no question that
he's dead.
Dunzo.
No, yeah. He's definitely that side shot of him. Yeah, I saw that.
I was surprised about that only because obviously this guy wasn't acting alone. He was acting on someone else's order.
I would have thought kind of tweaky.
He seemed like he was on drugs, and it's like, okay, you want to be even? Go ahead and just shoot the guy.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, he was a tweaker that owed some money.
And yeah, but after Bradley's dad got set on fire, pretty much his warehouse got set on fire, and there was that mysterious death. Don't you think that maybe they're targeting these people?
Well, maybe, but I don't know that Dylan's thinking five moves ahead.
Yeah,
he's not Joe Carroll. He's not,
you know what? I think that Dylan's going to live up to it, though. I really do. And because there's obviously, you see loyalty in Dylan. I think that's what they've been showing in his character the past few episodes, that he is very loyal. You know, I mean, I guess he doesn't have to pay that $5,000 back now, though.
That's a good look.
That's nice.
Well, if he's dead.
Let's jump real quick to some news and gossip, and I want to give some shout outs as well.
TV News.
So just, you know, I know that you have a couple things, but I really just wanted to shout out our girl, a bunch of our listeners, but one of the girls, our girl, Tasha Brand, who wrote us a lovely email, and she did bring up the fact that, you know, why create this character Dylan if in fact we're going to kill him. But she brought that up mainly because she wants to remind us all that, you know, we keep talking about Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, and Alfred Hitchcock created Norman Bates and everything else, but no, there's actually source material. There's a book as well that she talks about, written by Robert Bloch, who, you know, where Alfred Hitchcock got his, you know, got these people from. So it's very, her wonder is, will the creators tap into, you know, the book as source material as well, which I think is a great thing. Tasha Brand.
I think that's smart because a lot of people, I hear it, I say it, I keep saying I want to rewatch the movie, but really there's source material. Anyone who saw Hitchcock over the holiday season, they referenced the fact that that's where he got it from a book. So it's really interesting. So who knows what they're tapping into for source material as far as if they're going deeper into the book or not.
And before we jump into the news, you want any more shout outs?
Lot of people on YouTube for people who watch our streaming stuff during the week. Brent William Henry, Dave 1555, Danger Shoes, at H. Leffert, Fuchsia Flashdance, and One True Bell just wrote to us because they were surprised that we did a shout out to them last week. So now we did a shout out again this week. And on
Danger Shoes, watch out for his shoes.
And Danger Shoes,
they're dangerous.
What kind of shoes are those?
No, shout out.
Dangerous.
They're dangerous shoes.
And then. And then on iTunes, we thanks to Lisa Marecki, E. Caravello 3, Alex RT 101291. Thanks to you guys. And thanks for giving us ratings. Please give us some more ratings.
Thank you. Yeah. And Tasha Brand, thank you for your lovely email and all your great points. Duo, what news do we have?
I have, well, I'm going to keep it short. Marissa, are we already over on time?
We're fine.
She's going to kill you. I just wanted to say, last week we talked about Emmy. And so I was looking up some information on Freddie Highmore. And this kid, so he was born, first of all, he was born on Valentine's Day, 1992. And
I remember Valentine's Day, 1992.
By 2004, which makes him 12 years old, the kid had 14 nominations and 9 different awards. Finding Neverland, for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, for August Rush, who he actually starred opposite Kerry Russell, who you guys do The Americans with.
Yes.
And also Vera Farmiga has just a ton of stuff. So there's so much stuff and so many awards that they have that I definitely think that now is their time. They've got, you know, a great producer. They've got a well-done show, that this is just kind of like the trifecta.
When I was 14, I had 14 different action figures and 9 different nothing. I got nothing. I was not Freddie Highmore, clearly, when at 14.
I was barely an upright walker.
I know. I wish I could be like, I had 14 different ladies.
Right?
At 14.
Oh, no. Cool. That was a wall.
Which I was not.
Nice.
So true.
Thank you.
Anything else real quick?
Nope, that's it. You want to get into predictions?
I do want to get into predictions. Let's get into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Joe Sanfilippo.
I was hoping you wouldn't go to me first, because I really don't have much.
Really?
I don't.
This
I think
2 weeks in a row, man. Get it together.
Are you watching the show?
Would you stop? I really love watching this unfold. The only thing I can think of that I'm predicting is that Bradley is real, and well, obviously she's personally real, but I mean I think that they did sleep together, and I think that the next few episodes are going to watch Norman be ostracized by most of the cool kids, and she will not admit for a second that she had sex with him, and I think that's going to lead to some very, very hostile behavior on his part.
I like that. Actually, I like that. I think you might be right on most of that. I'm still not sure if he slept with her, but I'm sure he's going to get ostracized either way. I'm going to stick to my guns on Emma. I think she was sick last week. She has a disease that's pretty crippling the older you get, and I have a feeling he's imagining most, if not all, of her scenes with her right now.
Okay.
As of right now. I think he's imagining a lot of it. So I'm going to stick to that.
All right, well, so I'm actually going to predict that Sanfilippo, the first, when we shot our episode 1, your prediction was that, actually, no, it was you, Nando. Your prediction was that Shelby was going to kick the bucket. So far, since we've made those predictions, nobody has died yet.
Yeah.
And I'm going to agree with you, because I think that now Norma is so upset that Shelby has been cheating on her with a sex slave.
It's one thing to be cheated on. It's another thing to be cheated on with a sex slave. Well,
yeah. That now she's going to have to kill him.
Yeah, well. Oh. Well, is it fair to, because we know that from the previews, right? So I'm wondering about, my predictions have to do, I'm not asking, because my predictions have to do with what I saw in the previews for next week.
You think I'm cheating?
I feel like I'm cheating.
Okay.
Everybody got to see the previews. Cheated. So, right. I mean, you know.
Yeah. But one quick thing on Norma. I was very also convinced that, you know, once that Norma was completely manipulating, you know, Shelby this whole time, like, oh, Norma's got him. She's going to make him go take care of this.
At the beginning, so did I. But
I thought that, but even in today's episode, when it's like, what are we going to do? It's like, I love you. I'll take care of it. And I felt like Norma was kind of like, when she came back and found out that his sex slave was real, it made me feel like, oh my god, she really loves him. So I don't know. So I agree with you. Something's bad.
She wants it. She's gonna try and make it happen. That's all I'm saying.
My prediction based on what I saw.
Terrible taste in men.
She does. Although I'd still be with her because I love her. She's hot.
Vera Farmiga.
No, but I'll take my chances. Goddamn it. My prediction very quickly is. I'm sorry. What do you want from me? My prediction is that the family will bond together, will come together to pull off one giant caper and taking down Shelby. That means Dylan will not be on the out. She'll be on the in. Dylan.
Out of the doghouse. Dylan's out of the doghouse.
Dylan, Norma, and Norman will come together for one super psycho family and take down Shelby for the ultimate secret that will last us for few episodes. That's all we got. Thank you for listening. Joe Sanfilippo, where can we find you?
You can find me at Joe Flippo at the Twitters.
Yes, Nando Vell, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me at Nando Vell at the Twitters.
Casey.
DuaKaiSSI. Twitter.
And you can find me at Joe K. Braswell on Twitter. And yeah, I think we're going to start a Base Motel Twitter feed as well.
Let's do it.
We're going to do that. So look for that. We'll shout that out next week. Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for listening to iTunes and otherwise. And we'll see you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.